welcome to Corner of Hunter and George. This is episode number 15. This is the Peterborough Art Show, Corner of Hunter and George. You can find on Spotify and Apple. Please do become a subscriber or a listener. I'm only expecting limited following, but each one helps. It helps the people I'm interviewing, I hope, too. That's the intention. It's not for my own bread, believe it or not. Well, deep down it is, but in other ways it's not as well. It can be both. Well, in this episode, I'm talking to someone who you may know as Jean-Paul Campeau or Deadbeats. Deadbeats has been in this great city of ours for about 11 years. He's been making, closest translation, I guess, is lo-fi, downbeat, electronic music, instrumental. And it's a variety, and the last few years during our COVID period, he's been putting out music at a rapid pace. Well, I didn't really stumble into him until this recent Trent RPM challenge from February, and I've played his tracks on my show, Electric City Bang. And what do you know? I just found his music quite interesting and dynamic and a bit off standard that I enjoy as well. So in this episode, before we get to our recording, you were hearing the first track from Are You Still Up EP that was submitted to Trent's RPM Challenge Kyoto Cafe. Well, here is my conversation with Deadbeats.
Sort of simple but generalized question. I guess, how would you sort of describe your music? I guess from someone who's older like myself, I guess when I've been listening to your music, I hear a bit of some kind of early Bonobo kind of sounds in it. And then there's other pieces of yours. I was thinking, well, that old Bill Murray movie, Lost in Translation, that would have fit on it, things you would have done. So I don't know if there's a way you could sort of describe your music.
Well, technically, I'm kind of going for the lo-fi hip-hop thing, but since I am kind of an older guy, I used to play in jam bands a lot in the 90s, and I've been a session musician for years, and so got a lot of classic rock and listened to a lot of jazz stuff. So I guess there's a little bit of that kind of sneaks in there now and then. I kind of started this whole thing trying to do like sort of traditional rap beats to try to sell them to rappers, but that didn't really work out. So I just decided to go the instrumental lo-fi route and see how that would go.
Okay.
Still starving.
And... yeah, well, it's hard to find a perfect formula these days. There's a lot of both barriers and sort of also maybe false hopes thrown at, well, everyone, but especially musical artists these days. But yeah. Now I've seen sort of clips of you like playing the guitar. So maybe that's where you could, sorry, like, and you said jam bands, maybe that's your background, but sort of is there a way you could sort of describe your background in music, like where you, how you got into it and what you were mainly into playing? And
well, strangely enough, in high school I kind of learned how to play guitar playing bluegrass. There was a guy close by my school who taught guitar lessons, and he was a country and bluegrass player, so that kind of interested me. So that's where I started out, was bluegrass guitar, and then always loved playing Hammond organ. So later on in the 90s, I found an old Hammond for a reasonable price and sort of took up keyboards. So yeah, guitar, keyboards, and bass just by necessity. So I use a lot of loops in my music, but I also play a lot of the stuff too. So that they're hopefully is some sort of common thread or sound that people might recognize, you know, for my one fan or two.
Well, we'll get into that later. It doesn't seem like it's just one or two fans from what I'm seeing on a few sites, but so there must have been something. I mean, Peterborough has a long history, of course, of country and bluegrass, but there must have been some sort of evolution where you went from that to this kind of more electronic or love for that? Like you said, you're trying to make sort of hip hop beats, but there's must have been something that happened at one point.
Yeah, well, we moved here from Toronto about 11 years ago, and yeah, in Toronto, I was a session guy, and I had a recording studio, and so that kind of dried up a bit when we moved here, and then I tried to, you know, join the regular workforce, and it didn't really work out so well, and yeah, so I was kind of dabbling around with different things on my own to see what I could do, and I couldn't really find a sound I was looking for, and then the pandemic hit, and I bought a couple of loop packs, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I don't need to find a drummer anymore. I can just use loops for drums and kind of mess with them. And yeah, I kind of started there, and I've obviously had a lot of time on my hands because of the pandemic. I lost what work I did have. So I kind of just dedicated all my time to that at that point. So the last couple of years, just been working on that.
Okay. And so I admittedly got into you first when I just saw what you were doing for Trent RPM this year. And are you still up? So is there that EP, is there sort of a concept you have behind that or certain ideas or inspiration you had for that entire album or EP?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, one of the big things about lo-fi beats and study beats is this whole, you know, well, study beats being up late at night, and the whole sleepy beat thing, which I don't really get. I don't really want to make music that people fall asleep to. That just kind of seems counterproductive. But yeah, so the whole Are You Still Up thing was like, kind of had a thought of it as like music to listen to when you're still up super late, early in the morning. Which I often am, less so now as I get older, as I get sleepy like an old man.
Yeah, but, that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. Can I go to bed yet?
Yeah. For me, sometimes these days it's 8 or 9, but yeah. But
Yeah, same. So it was, yeah, kind of like a just a sort of a later night listening kind of thing. I mean, people sometimes liken the music to elevator music, but cooler. I don't know. I always remember actual elevator music from back in the day, and I kind of hate that comparison, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know elevator music I sort of equate with yes, I know what you're saying, but I wouldn't call it that. I guess what I kind of have to point out, if you're worried about making kind of music that people fall asleep to, or kind of meditative heart music that people will do yoga to, or some sort of easy yoga class to, it's not really ambient because it has kind of a rhythm to it.
Yeah.
Song. And so I would, yeah. It's and it seems like what you've laid out is that you're trying to make music for various things like games or different artists or TV or that sort of thing. So are you kind of right now kind of produce some music, which you're doing at a kind of a really torrent pace, which I'll kind of later, like at least, you know, a number of songs you've put out in the last year or two. But, and you're trying to look for sort of a match for that song for various outlets or medium outlets?
Yeah, I'm signed to about 3 or 4 library music labels, which are basically stock music labels. So most of the stuff I release is concurrently also in their catalogs, which they're trying to sell to TV shows and commercials. And in the past, I worked for a casino game company where I did all their music and sound effects and voiceover stuff. So I'm always trying to look for work in that business still, too. But it's a little tougher in Peterborough. There's not a whole lot of that going on here.
No.
Because there's like one gaming company, and I've emailed them 3 times, and they've never responded.
Yeah, so it's thankfully at this day and age you can think outside your own place of residence. But is there now gaming specifically, like I kind of think of something like I remember it was called, but maybe their self-titled album, but Burial's album. I know that was kind of in the 2000s. That was kind of all about the thinking of that was kind of all about it matching some sort of, you know, one of those long kind of story like video games. But is there something you're thinking when you're making music like that will that'll fit something of a gaming or again, as opposed to maybe a commercial? And is there something like, you sort of have that intention going in, or you sort of produce the music and think, well, this would work better for this than that?
Yeah, I kind of always think a little visually when I'm doing music. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a big movie fan, and I've always loved soundtracks. So whenever I'm writing and recording, yeah, there's always some sort of like visual backdrop going in my brain that, yeah, a lot of times it wouldn't be any sort of, it'd be some sort of weird psychedelic party or something that wouldn't really work for a commercial, but I mean, a lot of stuff, I see a lot of stuff working for your standard like driving around commercials, car commercials, maybe even soap. There's some kitsch in my music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think it would work for soap. I don't know, I guess usually something a little like morning like and upbeat, I guess, something like that. Yeah. But now one it's not on Are You Still Up, but one song of yours, and apologies if I'm mispronouncing this, but Kanbanya, I believe is how you say it. Good evening in Japanese, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it either.
So what you said, we're saying like that, it was kind of based on Succession. So it's like the TV show kind of a inspiration for that track, or is there sort of a thinking behind that?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever watched the show. The theme's pretty cool. And they pound it into you incessantly throughout the show in like different formats. So we've been watching it for a while, so the melody wouldn't leave my head. So I decided to do something kind of a little bit similar, and see how it went. You know, it's a bit of a weird track. I don't know how people will feel about it, but,
well, first of all, yeah, I admit I have not seen the show, but I've seen so much said about the plot line and how it was done, and I've seen various clips that I think I've gotten the idea of the show, but I admittedly have not heard the soundtrack. So, how would you describe sort of the, like it being a weird track sort of thing compared to maybe other things you've done?
I guess it's a little melodramatic. Mm-hmm. Sort of one of the problems I'm encountering a little bit is that the whole lo-fi scene is all about being sort of in the background and nothing being too prominent, like, and sticking out. And I do kind of tend to have a little bit louder, more prominent drums, and I don't, you know, muffle everything down quite as much as a lot of the lo-fi guys do. And that's sort of making it hard to get on some playlists because everybody's like, no, this is too upbeat and the drums are too loud. But, you know, you got to be a little different, right? Or there never would be any change in music. So
that's right. Yeah. Then that's kind of it. You having your own unique sound kind of thing. Or, and then another one I kind of really love is The Cove. And just before I ask about that, like, I think both Cove and one we were just talking about and other tracks of yours, I would call at least elements of the track, if not the entire track, kind of melancholic as well, like kind of or melancholy, at least better way of saying it, to the track. I don't know. Which is that something that you also maybe don't like about lo-fi music, that it's prominent, or is that something you sort of thrive on, it being in lo-fi?
What, music? Being melancholic?
Yes, yeah.
I kind of have to force myself to make songs sound happy a lot of times because I have a tendency to really go towards minor keys and dark, dirgy kind of stuff. And, yeah, you know, sometimes at parties and I just sneak my music in there or whatever. At one point I'll get that, oh my God, can you put on something more upbeat than putting us all to sleep? So yeah, I do like the melancholic thing, but, I think that, I probably shouldn't do as much of it as I do maybe, or try to, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Right.
You get so little feedback, these days online and everything. Like, I mean, you put some stuff up on Instagram and it's like, you're just throwing it out in the ether and getting crickets and, it's like, I don't know, is this good? Do you like this better than you like this?
Yeah. Something. Yes. Yes. Sadly, that's kind of how social media works. If the, you know, the 1-3% get, you know, more remarks than most people would care for. And, you know, a lot of it's troll-like anyway. And the rest of us, with whatever, how many people we have following us or whatever, it's, yeah, like you said, it's just kind of cricket. So it's not really, we're not getting any sort of critical or positive feedback. So,
yeah, you get those like promotional comments, you know, promoted on this.
Yeah. So just the Cove itself, do you remember sort of like how you're sort of the shape of that piece, and if there's something you were thinking again of certain medium you're intending that for?
Yeah, I was thinking of like, you know, those sort of really dark and kind of depressing French movies from the 60s. Like some of the Truffaut stuff and I can't even remember the guy's name now. My favorite director, though, but I can't remember him.
Oh, Godard?
Godard's one, and then this guy, he did The Butcher, and anyway, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, so, like, those sort of dark, rainy, gray, sort of depressing movies, which I love. They make me happy, but... so, yeah, I was kind of thinking that, and then... I had that photograph that I'd taken up at my wife's parents' cottage. They have a little bay there. And yeah, it was just a really dark gray day. So I sort of cartoonized the picture and made it even darker and grayer looking. Yeah, and sort of fit well with that. But I don't know how many French New Wave movie makers there are out there that might be looking for a track like that.
Yeah, sadly, probably most are gone now. But that for that time period, yes, it's, I could see that track fitting in quite well. So obviously, what I'm getting from you is that your favorite medium of thinking of your track, like fitting into it, is the movies. Is there a certain soundtrack from like your listening past that sort of like sort of, if not set a standard, at least provided a bit of like kind of opened up ideas for you in the past? Any certain soundtracks of any certain movies or TV?
Not specific movies, more like a, like an overall sound, like B French and Italian B movies from the 70s and 60s. I've listened to a lot of stuff like that. I mean, being a musician, I've always had tons of sidelines to try to earn a living. And one of them years ago was that I would buy and sell records on eBay. So as they would pass through my hands, I would record them all and keep the music and then resell them. So I did that with thousands of soundtracks. So yeah, a lot of that sort of, yeah, music from obscure and forgotten movies where, I guess the musicians had a lot more freedom because, you know, it wasn't like a big budget production where everybody was worried about every tiny bit of minutia, so they got a lot more freedom to do what they wanted, and a lot of cool sounds came out of that. And so I guess I'm kind of influenced a lot by that.
And what about, you're saying Italian and French, what about something like like Herzog's 70s films where he always had Popol Vuh do all the soundtracks. I don't know if you've heard those, but kind of like they're a little more guitar sounding like, and
I think I ripped about three or four of those records too. Like anything from that era, really. And a lot of like the American blaxploitation stuff too, all that great funk music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a lot of like the sort of more mainstream bands that did soundtracks back then too. Some cool stuff, like it was a Pink Floyd did, don't remember the name of the movie now. I think it was pretty terrible movie, but the soundtrack was kind of cool.
yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't remember the movie because it's not really remembered too well these days. But
I mean, a lot of the movies are completely forgettable, and I'd get these mm-hmm. records, and then for a while I was trying to track down the movies to see what they looked like, and then mm-hmm. I'd see the movie and be like, oh, this is terrible.
yes. Yeah, sadly, great movie and great soundtrack don't always equate. Well, I guess you know, you can. So you, I'm taking from you, you'd love to be able to do a soundtrack yourself. I guess if the offers aren't there, you can always try and do what, say, Nicholas Jar did a few years ago, where I think he did some Tarkovsky film. He did it like an unofficial soundtrack for one of his films, just sort of a reimagining of it, and just put it out.
I thought of trying that. Now that the pandemic's kind of sort of winding down and mm-hmm. work is coming back, and finding time is getting to be a little harder to find working all the time again, which is good, but I would love to do that. And I've thought about it a few times, find something, mm-hmm. at least do a couple of scenes and not a whole movie, and mm-hmm. send it off, you know, out into the ether on Instagram for no one to comment on, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. if it connects with the right people or places, that can work for you. Now, yeah, you can't say you have like no followers though, because what I was last seeing on Spotify, you're getting close to 17,000 in monthly listeners there. So if I'm looking at that properly, so I don't know, how do you explain that success? Even with your low feedback, you're saying, so maybe you don't have a good answer, but it must be something.
I spend a lot of time submitting to playlists and getting on playlists, and but in relative terms, 2 weeks ago that was at 25,000, and it's dropped down to 16 something now, just by being dumped off a couple of playlists. Because usually you get on them and they leave you there for a month, mm-hmm. and then you get removed. And it's another sort of a bit of a downside of the whole streaming universe now, is that everybody's kind of a blind passive listener. You know, they put on playlists and they just listen to them,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really look or follow anybody. Like, they just listen to it and they don't check out and dig any deeper anytime. So you don't really get a lot of fans. So I have like 16,000 monthly listeners, but I only have 127 followers.
Mm.
So that's kind of the trade-off.
Right. So it'd be nice if you had a bit more balance there with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, well, if I put out a new release and I don't promote it at all,
mm-hmm.
nothing will happen at all. Mm-hmm. So if I don't get it on some playlists, I'll get like my few of my Instagram followers, not my friends and family anymore. They're sick of me. and that's about it.
And so these, like, you've put out like more than I can count, or I don't have a number with me, but you've put out a huge amount of track releases like during our COVID period.
Yeah.
And is it have to do with something like trying to get it on Spotify, promote your work, trying to get it on a playlist? Is that the thinking there, or you just this time on your hands during the COVID period you were able to like produce a lot, or is it a bit of both or something else?
Yeah, it's a bit of all of those things. I had the time and keep reading, you know, be consistent. So it's kind of working a bit to kind of trick the algorithm into finally noticing you. Started getting on sort of these Spotify radio stations that, you know, when you're playing a song and then it ends and then you go on the radio. Mm-hmm. So when they stick you on there, like then you actually do get to be heard by some other people that are, you know, listening to someone else, and then they hear you as someone similar and they might actually check you out. So that's kind of finally starting to work. And I always knew that obviously the pandemic was going to come to an end. So I'm kind of trying to build up a catalog and a bunch of music so that when I don't have time to make as much music anymore because I'm working, that I can continue to sort of release and be consistent for a while. And hopefully during that time, get to the point where I can do it full time and actually make a reasonable living on it, which is not happening yet.
Right. Well, and yeah, hopefully that'll, again, I guess sort of a balanced thing of being able to find enough time to be able to do that. Now, not claiming to be any sort of expert or even well-known person in this way, but I think it's only fair that you're given a chance to say like what sort of technical items you're using, like what sort of is your sort of kind of digital machinery you're using to make your music, and what sort of you found is best worked for you and so on, or even means of production of the sound.
Other than guitar and bass, everything is pretty much in the computer now. I work in Pro Tools just because I have for like 20 years, which in the hip hop world is kind of strange because everybody uses much more grid based, loop based things like FL Studio, formerly known as Fruity Loops.
Yes.
And like, yeah, people laugh at me all the time. Like, oh, you use Pro Tools? What's wrong with you? But it's what I'm used to. So I'm old enough that I don't feel like learning anything new. And as far as like instruments within that, I use Kontakt, and I have a ton of virtual synths and instruments within there that I use, mostly synths, and I use a lot of plug-in effects. I like reversing stuff and blending like the reverse stuff with the stuff that's not reversed and making weird sort of sounds out of that. Other than that, yeah, I've got a couple of external reverbs and delays that I use. One's an old, like a, looks like a guitar pedal, but it's connected to a big spring reverb tank. So you can get some cool sounds out of that. And yeah, other than that, I'm pretty simplified now. I used to have a ton of synthesizers. I sold most of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I still have my Hammond organ, but my studio is now up in our attic. So it lives at my parents-in-law's cottage in the basement up there, because I think it would probably cave in the floor up here. And right. Yeah.
Well, I can understand the love of the Hammond organ sound. I mean, I used to love the sound of that, like from people who did it in the back of the 60s, like, you know, Garth Hudson or Booker T, yeah, or I believe even like Steve Winwood kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're just the best sound in the world.
Yeah.
And, it's too bad they have to weigh a half a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the disadvantage of it. But now do you have, like you say, you're kind of having to enter back into the workforce now that our mandates are down. But do you have any sort of like upcoming plans that you want to do musically in 2022 or even 2023?
Well, I've been trying to set up some smaller label releases for this year so that I can let them deal with some of the promotion because I won't have time or money. So I have, one coming up on May 1st, then May 6th, then the end of May, I've got an EP coming out with Puebla Vista Records. And then on June 15th or the end of June, I should know this, another EP coming out with Kiwi Bear Records. So yeah, a bunch of stuff coming up, and hopefully it gets a little traction and eases the burden a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Would always be good.
Okay, so it's quite a number. Again, you're keeping up this rapid pace of making music. Now, one thing I've noticed that I've just watched on whatever YouTube or whatever, your videos are quite colorful and in a visual backdrop kind of way. Is there any way you're going about doing that? They're quite in a artistic visual sense, they're quite rich, a lot of them.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I do them all myself.
Yeah, I thought you did. So you must have some background in that yourself, or it just seems to really work with the music, most importantly, but it also stands out as its own art piece, at least in my opinion. But
cool, thanks for noticing.
Well,
my wife is also an artist. She's a visual artist.
Mm-hmm.
Started as photo-based, and now she's a mixed-media photo-based artist. So there's always been a lot of visual art around our house, and I've always been into photography, too. And you could do so much now with, apps on your phone. So, I shoot video on my phone, and I have a GoPro. I shoot a lot of video and photos, and then I stick them through all these apps and mess them up and then kind of put them together and try to make short videos out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, all those guys that DM me on Instagram all the time trying to sell me their artwork. Can't afford you.
One sort of thing I've noticed too is, pretty much, like you said, really at the beginning, like pretty much all your tracks have kind of been instrumental, but I think there was one you had from either a year ago or something called, I think, Hit the Pavement, that had some sort of vocal element to it. And yeah. I don't know, how do you feel your relationship is with vocal? Like, do you want to add that in too? I know you haven't claimed you have any similarities to him, but like that's, what I said at the beginning of early Bonobo, there certainly was a lot of tracks that had kind of like a vocal element to them. So I guess what I'm just asking you is how you feel about using vocal at all. Or
I feel like I should use vocals more just to make it more accessible. Because I totally get that most people aren't like me, that they'd be happy to, never hear a voice in music. I mean, I don't have anything against vocal music. I mean, I listen to all kinds of it, but I also love instrumental music. But I did there's two songs on that EP that I had originally done as instrumentals, and then it was sad to admit, but I got one of those, like a royalty-free vocal pack, which basically they do a whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And just a cappella, and I just kind of chopped it all up and pitch shifted it a bit and fit it into the songs that I already had to see how it would work. And I think it came out okay. I don't know how much I would do it. I mean, if somebody wanted to sing something over my tracks, I'd be totally fine with that, but it hasn't really come up yet. So mm-hmm. I try to throw the odd thing in here and there, but I don't know how much of a difference it makes here or there with people enjoying it.
Well, I know for me personally, it kind of always depends. So, it's the sound of the song. I guess some tracks definitely are better off being instrumental, but sometimes it adds a richness to it as well. Also depends how the vocal's done. Like you're saying, even if you have one of those, kind of a cappella things, that it's maybe just how the technique of how it's broken up and everything. And you being like I believe a past producer, an engineer of music, that that must come in handy doing things like that, and also but like just making your music in general.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've done a ton. I worked for CBC for a couple of years. As an engineer there, and in my own studio. So yeah, I'm very used to editing and chopping and moving stuff around, making up stuff that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I love like taking like a piano track and two piano tracks that are completely different, and then chopping them up and pitch shifting them so that it sounds like two guys actually playing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is there any, I guess, one thing I just, is there any tracks you feel, it can be, this can include your upcoming EPs you're talking about. Is there any tracks you feel like most proud of, or anything that you've, you feel like, or are you someone who once you've made your things, you don't want to hear it again?
Usually pretty sick of them by the time I release them. Because mm-hmm. I listened to them a million times trying to, you know, hear those little things that I need to fix before somebody tells me I need to fix them. Because once it's released, you're kind of like, damn. And it always happens that I'll start submitting to playlist curators, and then they'll give me their feedback and say, yeah, sorry, we don't want to put it on our playlist because of this. And then all of a sudden I'll hear it. And I'll be like, oh man, how did I not notice this? I've listened to this 500 times. But yeah, pretty much always whatever the newest thing is usually what I'm most proud of and think is the best thing. So I guess that's kind of good and kind of bad, but I guess I'm getting better, maybe.
I think you're definitely still in that phase of your career where there's still an upward climb. We're not talking about the Rolling Stones here. So yes. So you're saying like you're releasing EPs, you've done a lot of singles. Do you have any sort of plans or even any sort of like background in just live performance? Like, I don't know if you ever were one of those DJs at a party, like one of those maybe small cocktail events where you were kind of like doing just noodling around on the synth in the background to people interacting with each other kind of thing.
I did that a couple of times here and there. I would often be the guy at the party that would be like kicking the guy off the stereo, like, this is crap, man, put this on. I used to play live a lot, but one of the reasons I kind of like doing this is that I have pretty fierce stage fright. I get super anxious and nervous, and then I play like crap. Because I'm just all clamped up. So this is kind of great. You know, it's also, you know, one of the reasons I became a musician was so I didn't have to dance. I could hide behind the keyboards. Yeah. Well, I used to play live a lot and do stuff like that. I don't really miss it much. Plus, you can't smoke in bars anymore. So I used to hide behind like a pint of beer and my keyboard and a pack of cigarettes and just chain smoke all night.
Right.
And that's luckily not happening anymore.
Now, one of the challenges being, I guess, in Peterborough is like, I don't know if you have much of a community of fellow musicians you can sort of interact with. Not that we don't have a musical community here, we do, but it's not on any enormous scale. I don't know. Is that like, am I wrong, or do you find some sort of need for that of being able to like interact with fellow musicians who are kind of maybe in a similar state to you?
Yeah, I mean, it would be good because it's nice to kind of sometimes when you talk to other people doing something similar, it sort of takes you out of your bubble, and you might realize some things you're doing wrong, or conceptions that you had that are wrong or right. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's a great way to validate what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that would be good, but it is tough. Peterborough is a little smaller, and there is a bit of a hip hop community here. like there's that Forrest Gumption guy.
Yeah. yes, I've played him on my show on Trent Radio a few times. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I've chatted with him a couple of times, but I mean, I'm also quite a bit older than most of these guys. I'm 48, mm-hmm. and to put it into context, Forrest is pretty good friends with my nephew.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I guess a lot of, I know a few other musicians around here and they're all quite a bit younger, which, you know, I mean, I don't think is really a huge problem, but different places in life. Like I'm, you know, worried about keeping my house and stuff like that. And
right. Yeah. That different. Yeah. Yeah, sadly, when 40s, 50s, you have to, you just have to go back to paying the bills, more or less. There isn't much, as much room to maneuver, perhaps, as there was when you were maybe in your 20s or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and the body starts breaking down, like, well, eyes are going, and I'm diabetic now, and all those kinds like of fun that. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, just one last thing. Is there any sort of track that I would play on my podcast that you would recommend either from Are You Still Up or anything else that you've recently released?
Well, actually, there's one coming out on May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Cloud Animals.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a happy spring song. It's not my usual melancholy stuff.
Okay.
It's for a spring compilation. So if you wanted to play that, or I don't know, or The Cove too. I like The Cove, but.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll see what time I get it done. But if I'm, yes, if I still haven't released it by May 6th, I may put that out. But if not, The Cove. That's good. A happy spring song. I think we all kind of need that right now. So, what again is your release of your next EP?
Next EP comes out on May 31st on Puebla Vista Records. Mm-hmm. And then the next one after that is it's either June 15th or June 31st on Kiwi Bear Records.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a single on May 1st and then one on the 6th.
Okay.
And those are both on Lifted Lo-Fi Records.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time today. I'll be looking out for those. And, I've enjoyed, this kind of experience. Like I said, I came across first with, when I was, trying to cover what would have been entered this year into Trent's RPM challenge and, listened to quite a lot since. So, I think you definitely are a bit, of a step apart from what I'd say is lo-fi if because there is you have certain quirks to it and certain rhythms that are just not there with what you think of as standard lo-fi music or definitely elevator music. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time today, and I'll put this together, and I can send you out a copy when I'm done, when I feel like it's listenable and sound quality enough. Anyway,
sure, sounds good.
All right, okay.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate
it. Right, no problem. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Okay,
thanks. Bye. What?
Just going to add a few footnotes for today's episode before I conclude. So he was talking about one French director. He told me in another email that I said I would take care of before I released this episode. The French director he was talking about was Claude Chabrol, is his name. I haven't seen anything by him, but anyway, most of his films were scored by a fairly unknown guy. This is a quote from Deadbeats. Unknown guy named Pierre Janssen. He did mostly orchestral stuff, but usually in a very bizarre and very moody way. And I'm going to add a note of my own. The Pink Floyd film I believe he was trying to talk about is Zabriskie Point. I don't know who remembers that. I think that involved Jerry Garcia as well. Anyway, so there are some footnotes for today's episode. On another note, yes, you probably noticed I have a new microphone. I do sound better. I believe I do, anyway. You be the judge of that, but I believe I do. It's not a permanent thing. It's kind of a borrowing from a well-respected colleague, but I think I know what microphone to invest in next once I have the cash together. So I hope you enjoy the sound more, so it's improved sound quality on Corner of Hunter and George. You can find me on Spotify and Apple. Well, I very much enjoyed that conversation with... Well, I very much enjoyed that conversation with Deadbeats. I think he's quite an interesting artist, and he brings out how there is a hip-hop beat culture in Peterborough, a community. Might be small, but it's there. It's been, I think, largely unrecognized because we have such a long tradition of folk, country, bluegrass, some pop, but some rock, of course, but not a lot of hip-hop. You wouldn't think of it, but it is there. So I suggest you check out Deadbeats, that's DHEDBEATS, on Spotify. He's on Apple as well. He is on Bandcamp, but he says he's not that great at keeping up to date with his material on Bandcamp, although Are You Still Up is on it. Other sites as well. So check out Deadbeats. About the track I just played there, I played Cove. That's one of the ones we talked about in our interview. Sadly, the other one he mentioned, I'm putting this out before May 6th. I can't wait. I'm sorry. You're now hearing another track called Sunflowers of his in the background. But I'll put it in the words to end off today's episode of Corner and Hunter and George. What Morgellina, another Peterborough music artist, a great music artist, said about Cove. This is off Twitter. Quote, some awesome lo-fi hip-hop style beats from Deadbeats featuring a haunting backward piano loop that captures the darkness of winter months. That was from March 2nd. Well, hopefully we're out of that now. Hopefully you'll hear more from me soon. I think you will. Definitely a lot more before 2 weeks. So, see you again on Corner of Hunter and George. Thank you for dropping by.